Good morning. It's Easter Sunday. As the minister of Banff and King Edward Parish Churches, welcome to this short Easter Day service. You'll find separately on our church Facebook another service being broadcast on Deverin FM today, something produced by myself along with the pastor of River Church Banff and the minister of Macduff Parish Church. Listen to both, please, if you can. But may I start here by reading to you the first part of John's Gospel, chapter 20, which tells of the early discovery that Jesus is not dead. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then they went back to where they were staying. It's exciting stuff. The evidence was there. It rings true, but they had still not fully understood. Yet they were starting to believe. Faith comes to us all in different ways, some quickly, some slowly, some belatedly, some through seeing church in action and sharing and caring for others, some through prayer, some through reading the ancient texts through which God's Spirit can touch our hearts still. We too may not fully understand, but the evidence is there. Jesus did lead an amazing life of caring for others and healing. But he was executed by jealous, fearful, corrupt authorities. He was securely buried in the grave guarded by armed soldiers. And yet the stone over the grave was somehow moved and the body gone. We will see the disciples, like us, remained uncertain, even afraid. But they were starting to believe the amazing truth of today. Jesus Christ is risen. Please listen to King's College Choir, Cambridge, singing the traditional Easter hymn, "Jesus Christ is Risen Today, Alleluia."
Thank you.
In my broadcast today on Deverin FM, I mention how the note of fear was very much evident in the followers' early reactions. And yet those people would be changed into courageous spreaders of the good news in word and caring action that would spread around the world and across time to us today. How could this be unless the Easter events are true? Let's hear one of those events I refer to in John's Gospel. We read on in chapter 20 and see how the followers of Jesus huddle together in fear, but then something amazing happens, which can happen today still for us. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven." The passage ends with that power of forgiveness being given to Jesus' followers. And I would say it's given to us all who seek to follow him and open up to his Spirit. It's good news and a power that we can share today. Forgiveness is something we can know for ourselves, so we can share it with others because of Easter. It starts really with Jesus dying on the cross. Somehow he pays the penalty, the cost that we deserve for all the mistakes we've made. Somehow he replaces old ways of animal sacrifice to what was thought to be an angry God, to show us that God is a God of love and allows his own Son to suffer instead of us for our mistakes. The way to God is opened up for anybody who seeks him. The curtain in the Jewish temple, which was thought to separate God from people, is torn down at the exact moment Jesus dies. Even about the time that Jesus says on the cross, "Father, forgive them." And so we have access to God and to his Holy Spirit through Jesus living and struggling and dying and rising again. But First John emphasizes those followers were anxious and fearful, maybe like us in these current times, when we may worry for the future of our loved ones, even for ourselves, or worry about our jobs, and worry all the more perhaps because we're isolated and enclosed in our home. Worries can grow when we're isolated. And into the midst of those worried, isolated followers, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," as he does to us. Peace which passes understanding, but can help us move forward one day at a time, open to new hope. The Spirit of Jesus can come into our midst and ease our worries and give us courage to move forward. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come together this morning, or whenever we hear this, to open up anew our hearts, open our hearts and minds to the reality of Jesus Christ, the man from Galilee, your Son, born to suffer and serve, the one who died and yet rose again to offer each of us new spirit. Hear our praise and open our hearts and minds. We remember how with such humility and love for others, Lord Jesus, you endured arrest, interrogation. We remember your sorrow, your humiliation, your suffering, your death. And somehow you bring life and love and hope and forgiveness in the face of deepest pain. You came not to condemn but to save, not to judge but to show mercy. You came for our sakes amidst darkness, amidst loneliness. We thank you Forgive us for all the things that cause hurt to ourselves, to others, to you. Draw us closer and help us follow better. Hear our praise and open our hearts. Strengthen us afresh this Easter to walk with you in your way. We find it difficult. There are so many distractions. So come close again. Raise our spirits and show us the way and help us on our way. This is the day the world turns again to new hope. So help us turn again today and not turn back into fear and selfishness. Give us new strength, new hope to serve and love whoever we can. Hear our praise and open our hearts. Amen. Listen now, please, to a modern classic song and hymn sung by Kirsten Getty, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood.
We read on and hear how this peace which we can know today comes also to one of the most sceptical of people, someone who in some ways is one of my heroes, Doubting Thomas. We read at verse 24 of chapter 20 in John's Gospel. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I won't believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, says John. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the possibly original ending to John's Gospel, saying these things are written so that you may find life by believing in Jesus. Christianity is not about a weak way of life, a quiet way of life, a hopeless way of life, but real life in all its fullness and in all its mess. Through the trials, almost because of the trials, we can find a full life sharing with others, even amidst the trouble and difficulty of today, because we follow one who's been there before us and shows us the way. And so John has some key things to say to us, even for today, especially through the presence of doubting Thomas. I like Thomas. He says to me, it's okay to question things, but also at some point, make up your mind. Don't keep questioning uselessly all your life. Get off the fence. There's no absolute proof of anything. Thomas made up his mind seemingly without actually putting his hands out to touch and feel Jesus' marks. He found sufficient faith to bow down and to journey forward. We too can do that. Jesus comes to meet our doubts, our fears, not always visible straight away, not always touchable by ourselves. Sometimes we have to let go of past understanding. Sometimes we just need to open up, and the Spirit comes in new ways, sometimes unexpectedly. Our task is to let that Spirit in, even today. And Jesus said to his followers, "Move forward, as my Father has sent me, so I send you." And so we have to move forward, being open to others in whatever way we can these days, by phone or letter or email, or just waving out our windows or whatever. We need to exert faith at times, and in those days to come, exert your faith that Jesus is true. I too have questioned things for a long time like Thomas. I examined everything as far as I could. But this is Easter day, and in my heart I know it's true, and it can be true for you. In Eastern churches at Easter, the doors are slammed shut and someone bangs from the outside on the doors and shouts, "Christ is risen." And the doors open and the gathered people inside open them and shout together, "Christ is risen indeed." Our church doors are closed because of the virus, but across the internet and the phones we can still shout, "Christ is risen indeed." And he's risen to bring help to needy people. Let's have a time to pray for others. Lord, we give thanks for the good things that have touched our lives and enriched us. We think of those who do not know such joy at this time and bring you our prayers for a world in need. We remember those for whom life is a bitter struggle, all those in need in our community and further. May your Spirit touch them in their need. There are many people out there who find it difficult to face tomorrow. We pray for them now. We pray that through people around them, something of your reality, your hope, your love, your acceptance, your purpose may support them. As you walked into the midst of fearful disciples, enter again into the presence of all who need you and seek you, and grant them your deep peace. We remember those who are bereaved and missing their loved ones. Help them hold together. Help them see a way ahead. We pray for people who need your healing at this time. We give thanks for the doctors, the nurses, and all the carers. Bless them in their daily work and keep them safe. We pray for anybody who we know in particular needing your Spirit at this time. Bless them, we pray. Give us all strength and help us cope with whatever is to come. Help us be the good neighbours we want to be. We pray for our neighbours in our street and in streets around us. We pray for local businesses hit hard and for people who have financial difficulties at this time. And so we pray that you will bless us all, and we pray you will guide political and medical leaders to make wise decisions. Hear the unspoken prayers of our hearts as once again we say the words Jesus has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Someone asked my wife in the shops recently, "I suppose the minister will have nothing to do just now." And when Mary explained, "I'm busier than ever," they replied, "Oh, I suppose it must be funerals." Well, that's true, but the church, your church, is as active as ever, but in new ways. The Central Church has encouraged us to use technology to get out there. And so we do try and use modern video conferencing facilities. We do try and put a lot up on Facebook to help young and old know God is alive, his Son is risen. If you need help in some way that we're not able to give so far, please let us know. We can but try. Jesus offers us all new ways forward in this situation if we let him guide us. He comes to bring anyone who seeks it and opens up a real peace and strength for our troubled times. Do not be afraid. Jesus rose from the dead and gives us a spirit for today. May God bless you in whatever lies ahead. And may you be a blessing to others. We close our service by listening to Stuart Townend's classic hymn, "Oh, What a Morning."
See what a morning. Filled with light.
Now may the blessing of God the Father, the love of his risen Son Jesus Christ, and the power and peace of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you know, now and in the days to come. Amen.